Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Will the talks on Yemen being held in Sweden lead to improvement on the ground for the Yemeni people? Well, the two sides, Ansar Allah and former government of Mansour al-Hadi, are very far apart. However, some progress has been made, such as agreeing to exchange prisoners. But what will it take to save the millions of Yemenis who are starving right now and have had almost 4 years of bombs being dropped on them by the Saudi regime and its allies? I'm going to start this off in Sweden. Press TV's correspondent on the ground there, where the talks are taking place, Robert Carter. Robert, thanks so much for being with us. Well, fill us in on the latest information that you have.
Yes, it has been an action-packed day. I've only been here for a day now, and already there is a lot of information to try and pass on to you, so I will do my best. Just to give you an update, just over an hour ago, the UN representative, who Hanan El-Badawi, who is the chief public information officer for the UN, present at the talks, she did update the press off the books and essentially said that, look, the two sides are still addressing certain issues. The main concerns for the UN here is to deal with Hodeidah, which of course is the besieged and vital port city for Yemen. She also mentioned that the UN is looking at pushing the ceasefire effort in Yemen, and obviously this may start off in certain areas in Yemen. So the city of Hodeidah, for example, is being looked at and how a ceasefire can be arranged there. Also the city of Tyres is being looked at, as well as another place for starting of ceasefires. Those two cities, of course, have seen heavy conflict over the last few years. She has also said, and I did challenge her, asking her, look, what's the UN's position? Are they trying to perhaps send the UN into Yemen to have a more physical presence there? And she refused to answer, but she didn't reject that concept. So that is, in my opinion, potentially on the table here. And the UN has said already as well, off the books, that during these talks, that if there is a failure here during the major peace talks taking place in Sweden at the moment, and of course there isn't a deadline set, so they could continue for quite some time. And the UN also made clear today that they're playing things as they go, and they're letting they're rolling with the punches. But okay, at the end of the day, if these talks don't reach the decision that they want by the end of it, they will be speaking to nations around the world, and they will highlight who has been holding back these talks, which side of the delegation has been helpful in actually cementing their promises to actually make a ceasefire and peace possible.
Okay, so Robert, thank you so much for that update. That's Press TV's correspondent on the ground there in Sweden, Robert Carter. I'd like to welcome my guest now to the program out of London, journalist and political commentator Richard Millett, and out of Beirut, journalist and political commentator Hossein Al-Moussaoui. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off now in London. And Richard, how do you evaluate these talks so far, as far as what you have heard? Do you think that this is a forum that actually can be conducive to bring about results?
Well, Marzia, the most important thing, obviously, is to stop the horrific war that's taking place in Yemen at the moment. People are starving and dying. But it's early days yet. It doesn't seem to have been too much developments in Sweden, unfortunately. Hopefully it's going to progress pretty quickly, but there doesn't seem to be, from what I can gauge, too much agreement between the sides. The Houthis aren't willing to give up their arms, not willing to withdraw from the positions that they're in. They're obviously being backed up by Iran, and that is the main stumbling block. We need to really have the original government of Hadi restored in Yemen, and have the coup that forced him out, have that reversed. And then that is really the best way forward, and have the Houthis to give up their arms and stop firing weapons.
But that's an interesting way, you know,
Saudi
Richard,
Arabia.
Richard, that's a very interesting way to start talks, right? Both sides, the one who has been doing all the bombing says to the ones who are defending themselves, give up your arms and then we'll talk. So it doesn't seem like a very logical or a demand that would really be conducive to results. Let me cross over to Beirut and Hossein and get him in on this discussion. Your take overall, what are the main impediments you think for these talks actually being something positive and getting the necessary results that would ultimately lead to peace?
Yes, of course. First of all, what your guest said is illogical and also is anything but factual. I mean, what he just mentioned there is nothing to do with, I mean, facts on the ground. I mean, there's a country that's being bombed by pretty much all the world for almost 4 years now. And today, from good intention, for the past 3 days, they've decided to travel all the way to Sweden to take part in these talks. Although, if we want to look on the ground, the Ansarullah movement, along with the Yemeni army, have the upper ground, militarily speaking. Therefore, they will have the upper ground in any future negotiations. However, today, it's very important to highlight on what the what Timothy Lenderking, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Arabian Gulf Affairs, what he said today in his press conference in Abu Dhabi. And this is a clear proof once again that the US does not want a political settlement in Yemen. What did he say? He reiterated his support once again for Saudi Arabia and the coalition formed against this country, and once again he blamed Iran for all the violence ongoing in Yemen. Therefore, once again, the US does not want the peace talks to go anywhere. However, if we want to talk exactly what's going on today in Sweden, and I made a few phone calls, most notably to the delegation there, and they told me that the Saudis, and when I say the Saudis, I mean the delegation, because they are not a Yemeni delegation that are independent. They take their orders from the Saudis. They told me that they have no roadmap, no vision. So they basically traveled to Sweden with no sort of political understanding of how a political settlement could come around for Yemen. They just came to waste time, if that's how I see it, because even the issue of prisoner swapping, until this moment, has not been resolved. The Yemeni delegation headed by Ansarullah presented a list and told them that these are the names that will be part of the swap deal. Until this moment, the other delegation, which is supported by Saudi Arabia, has not even been able to hand over a list of names.
Okay.
Not to mention Hodeidah and Taz.
Stay with me, Hossein. Let me get Richard back in on this discussion. What about that, Richard? We have heard reports that basically the other side, as Hossein has just said, basically came without any plans, without any roadmap, without, it appears, the ability to really want to reach some concrete results. Your take on that? I mean, what has to happen in order for, well, as Hossein said, the Saudis, but we'll say the former government of al-Hadi, to actually try to come to the table and to get concrete results that's going to lead in stopping this horrific war on the Yemeni people?
Well, from the sounds of it, Hussein's only got one side of the story. He's only been speaking to one side. So I'm not sure whether we can take necessarily, you know, his view on the other side with a lot of credibility, because we don't really know what the full picture is. These things do take time, Marzier. Prisoner swaps take a hell of a long time. They're very, very, actually quite complicated, as we've seen, for instance, when Israel's had to trade one prisoner with 1,000 Palestinian prisoners, Gilad Shalit. I mean, this prisoner swap took weeks, possibly months, to put together. So they've really only been in Sweden probably less than a week, or not even that. Talks supposed to go on till December the 14th, and it looks as if they've already agreed.
But as I said, Richard, beginning, usually when you agreed, it's been 4 days, so it's definitely not a long period of time, but usually there has to be some type of conciliatory perspective coming from both sides to make the talks conducive to actually getting positive results. Now, when the Saudi represented side, when the Hadi side of the spectrum, if you want to say, comes to the table, and their first demand is to disarm, their second demand is to give up Hodeidah. It doesn't seem like they really came to the talks to basically make concessions. It's almost as if they're stalling and wasting time, and perhaps it's because of the very negative image that the Saudis have globally right now because of, the killing the dissident journalists in Turkey. Your take.
Well, Saudi is being under attack as well. I mean, Saudi sovereign territory is being attacked from Yemen by the Houthis. There's been many, many rockets that have been fired into Saudi Arabia. So you can understand, to an extent, this desire to ask the Houthis to disarm. And this concept that's being painted by Hussein that Yemen is being attacked. No, Yemen is not under attack. There is an attempt to attack the Houthis and to drive.
Are you
the
being
Houthis
for? I mean, I tried not to cut you, mate. However, I mean, now you're saying just anything from your brain. I mean, come on. I think it's very clear to the world and where you are. I mean, I think you have an internet connection. You can Google the word Yemen, and I think you can see all the horrific images coming out of Yemen, this brutal war. I think Yemen is facing famine, not Saudi Arabia. I think Yemen is going through more than 22 million are on the brink. In Yemen, they are eating leaves. In Yemen, they are facing cholera. In Yemen, they are the ones that are suffering on a daily basis, not in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia today is only, the Yemenis are only responding to Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is not our discussion today. However, if you want to go down that path, I mean, the Yemenis until this moment, they've been very resilient. They've been able to stand against the world, not only Saudi Arabia, because we know this coalition is pretty much supported by the world. I mean, arms, logistics, political support, PR support, even where you are in London. I mean, how simple is a paracetamol tablet, which you can buy in the corner shop in London? And I come from London. That paracetamol tablet is not available also in Yemen because they die from cholera, which is a very pathetic disease today in 2018. So please, let's stick to the issue of the peace talks and not, I mean, try to divert attention the world that Yemen is being, you know, Yemen is attacking Saudi Arabia. That's not true. That's not true at all,
Hussein,
sir.
What do you make out of of course, what you said, the scene is on the ground there in Yemen, and we have seen, actually, Ansarullah so far seeming to be very conciliatory. He said that they're ready to make negotiations, but of course, that they have their red lines. And on the other side, as you had mentioned also, there doesn't seem to be any concrete plan on the other side. So what do you make of this? Exactly what's going on? Why would the other side then come, the Hadi represented side, come to the table if not wanting to make some type of progress? I mean, why even go to Sweden?
Well, simply because when the war was announced in Washington in 2015, in March, by the Saudi foreign minister, there was objectives. In any war, there are objectives that are laid out. None of these objectives have been met. The first objective was to break Ansarullah movement, okay? That, until this moment, has not been achieved. The second was to reinstall Hadi and his government. Until this moment, this has not yielded. The third objective was to force Yemen to be Saudi Arabia's backyard and to basically take its political decision by force. Until this moment, that has not happened. Therefore, Saudi Arabia, as I always say, is stuck in a quagmire. And today, the only way you can translate your political gains is through the ground. And today, there is a war that's entered its, I think, 47th or 48th month. And until this moment, they haven't been able to really advance in any front, even in the even in areas your guest said in Taiz, it's not the Saudis that run the show. it's Al-Qaeda and it's Daesh that run the show there. In Hodeidah, they tried to flex their muscles. I said on this TV 6 months ago or 5 months ago that they will not be able to advance in Hodeidah because you are fighting against the Yemeni people. I know the Yemeni people very well. They are not people that would surrender. However, what's going on today in Sweden, and I think the head of the delegation, Mohammed Abdel Salam, said it. He said, we are not here to surrender. We did not surrender in Yemen. Why should we surrender in Sweden? So therefore, I think the Saudis have only decided to travel all these miles away from Yemen and from Saudi Arabia just to waste time. And as you said, because they face an embarrassment on international level, most notably the issue of Khashoggi and the Hariri issue and many issues. So today they want to basically try to hide their war crimes by saying, we are here, we are negotiating with the Yemenis, but the Yemenis are not really willing to go through with a political settlement.
Well, Richard, you're sitting in London. I want to look at, for example, the role of countries, for example, like the UK and the United States in being able to put pressure on Saudi Arabia to actually stop the bombardment and stop the blockade of this country. We're talking about millions of people starving. So many kids have died. Over 15,000 people have actually been killed physically by these bombs that have been falling on their heads for more than 3.5 years now. I want to know your perspective on that. Do you think that London and Washington are actually trying to pressure the Saudi regime or not to try to bring this war to an end?
I think they're between the rock and the hard place. I think they are constantly advising Saudi Arabia to ease up, to make sure that they're targeting only, you know, the military, the Houthis only, and to try and stop this horrific suffering on the Yemenis.
So why continue to arm them then, Richard? Then why would London, why would Washington continue to sell billions and billions of dollars to the Saudi regime when, you know, it already obviously has a lot of sophisticated equipment and definitely a lot more than the Yemeni people that are on the ground there. So why wouldn't they stop selling the weapons to this regime when it's using this against Yemeni people?
I guess one word, it comes down to Iran. Iran is supplying the Houthis. Iran is embedded in most countries in the Middle East. Iran has taken over Syria. It's virtually taken over Iraq. It's virtually taken over Lebanon. And it's you know, once again,
who controls the air?
We always have to blame Iran.
Let me just get Richard to answer this. Who controls the waters around Yemen right now, and who is controlling the air as far as who is flying, who is able to fly there? Are the Iranians flying in? Are they shipping in? What do you mean by that?
Well, on the ground, yeah, Saudi controls the air, but the Houthis control most of Yemen. I mean, Iran, basically, let's call it Iran, not the Houthis, as you called Hadi or Saudi Arabia. You've got to look at the mirror. Look on the other side of the picture. It's Iran who controls the ground. Saudi controls the air. It's a deadlock. It's like a stalemate.
Well, I mean, let's very logic. If Iran is supplying the Houthis with weapons, but at the same time Saudi Arabia and the coalition have imposed a total blockade on Yemen. So if any weapons is able to be smuggled into Yemen, that means the Saudis are not doing a very good job at blockading Yemen. But they have. I mean, they've blocked pretty much. There's a total siege on Yemen. So I think this rhetoric is all wrong. I mean, Iran has always tried to look. I think you forgot the fact that even Mr. Zarif had a full plan for a political settlement in Yemen. So I think we can't always blame Iran. I mean, when did we see Iran and even the weapons? You know, in Yemen, the Scud missiles and the ballistic missiles, they're for the Yemeni army. Today, the Yemeni army was after 2015, the army split, and they possess, and according to my information, I think it's 350 ballistic missiles. I think only 10 or 15 have been used until now. So the Yemeni army, it's not only Ansarullah that's fighting. There is the Yemeni army that's fighting alongside. Of course, not all of the Yemeni army. So there is no need for Iran to support or try to send any sort of weapons into Yemen. This rhetoric, this is what the Israelis say, this is what the US say. However, what is a fact on the ground? Because you did not ask them the question. Why the US, why the UK, France continue to support Saudi Arabia in this in Yemen? Simply, the magic word is arms trade. There's billions of dollars worth of arms trade that Saudi Arabia is buying on a weekly, daily basis. Even the UK, where you are now, your government sells cluster bombs, internationally prohibited weapons, which come sometimes at the shape of toys. So kids could pick up these cluster bombs and die. So when the US government or the UK government try to say, we are selling Saudi Arabia, but we do not know where the weapons will end up. They do. These weapons will end up in Yemen.
Okay,
they
stay
are
with
using
me,
them against
I
the
gotta
Yemeni
get Richard
people.
Milley back in on this. Richard, 30 seconds. What do you think it's going to take? What are the main steps that have to be implemented in order for us ultimately to see peace in Yemen again?
Well, Saudi Arabia have to withdraw from Yemen, obviously, and the Houthis have to disarm, and Hadi has to go back there as president, and then they can have elections or whatever needs to be done within the constitution. But, you know, they have to restore the situation to what it was originally before there was a coup in Yemen by the Houthis supported by Iran.
Okay, and Hossein, same question. What is it going to take?
Well, I think personally the talks now in Sweden will not really leave and will not come out with some positive results. According to some information, there will be a next round of talks at the end of January, beginning of February. Let's hope that some sort of political settlement could come around. Disarmament of Ansarullah movement is impossible because they're now part of the resistance axis.
And on that note, appreciate both of you being with us. Out of London, Richard Millet, journalist and commentator, and out of Beirut, Hossein Al-Mousavi, journalist and political commentator. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.